The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
This is the Fearless Agent Podcast, where you learn how to make way more money fast selling real estate with your host, the Fearless Agent himself, Bob Loeffler.
And good day to you. This is Bob right here at the Fearless Agent Podcast for real estate sales professionals just like you, where we explain why everything you've been taught by the entire real estate industry is wrong, and you will make lots more money in way less time by doing the exact opposite. Speaking of which, we have my lovely co-host, sidekick, partner, Ramon B.
How do you do?
You know.
You do well.
It's been a whole week since we were together.
Yes, indeed. It's
through the magic of radio.
Man, the moments as I wait and yearn to be back here again.
Last week we talked about your first job.
Yes. Male modeling. Yep.
What was your worst job?
Well, I would say at some times it was the fast food job, like I would spill the you see, we had to clean out the fryer, and then the fryer would have to be emptied of its old grease, and then spilling that grease in the back of the kitchen and then proceeding to try to clean that grease up for the remainder of the evening.
I can top that. But I worked at a barbecue restaurant, so we had this big barbecue pit.
Yes.
And the grease would fill up, and it would fill like a garbage can, aluminum garbage can.
Yeah.
Do they even make those anymore, aluminum garbage can? And then it would be full, and then you'd have to carry it out without spilling it. Takes two people to carry that. Oh, my God. It was
yeah, horrible. That
grease. Oh, we had to chop wood in the heat, too. That was great. I worked at La Chamière, the finest French restaurant in Scottsdale, as a busboy.
That sounds hoity-toity.
Burl Ives was my customer. Remember Burl Ives on the Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer?
Yeah. Didn't he sing Silver and Gold or something
I believe
like that?
He did.
Yeah.
I think he had quite a bit of silver and gold, too, probably.
I would imagine.
Seemed like he was doing very well. Now, we're supposed to talk about real estate, but first we do the headlines of the day. These are actual news, real news that you can use. I like to call it infotainment.
What are they on?
What are they on?
A piece of paper?
A piece of paper.
Wow,
we're going way back. Like Professor Peabody and the Wayback Machine.
Retro.
Now, the CDC. Are you familiar with folks out of the CDC?
I've heard of them.
Now, we used to think they knew what they were talking about. Do you remember those days? Imagine 5 years ago. We thought, oh, yeah, the CDC, they know what they're talking about.
Yes.
And then 1 year ago, we think the CDC is a big – they don't have – okay, so they're – pimping out, as I like to say, the COVID. They love them some COVID, don't they?
That they do.
Yeah. So they keep having to add new symptoms to keep us interested.
Mm-hmm.
The latest one is poor satellite reception.
That's good stuff.
I think they're reaching.
Yeah.
I don't think people even have satellite anymore.
No.
We may have to. We're past
let's go
that,
ahead
aren't we?
Let's go ahead and put that as, let's say, they didn't get enough bars on their phone.
Right.
Yeah.
I didn't get enough bars on my phone.
Not good cell reception.
Mm-mm. No. So we've been talking about investing. So now this episode.
This one right
may
here?
May involve mathematics.
Mm.
Okay, so we're going to get yourself a clean piece of paper, start from scratch.
Everybody calm down.
Everybody get yourself a pen and a piece of paper because I'm going to teach you some stuff about, learn you some stuff about how to do the mathematics, as I like to call it, of...
Math is so much fun for everyone.
Investing in real estate.
Wow. That's like we planned that.
Yeah, we did that. So the mathematics of investing in real estate. So what I did, now I cobbled together this little investor presentation that we've been talking about. And just to, I wanted to be able to explain to people who lived, not lived in, but I wanted to show people why they should invest in one area and not other areas. Why they should invest in one type of house and not other types of houses. One type of property, not other types of property. So why this location? Why that type of property? Why they should finance it this way? Why they should do these different things? So in order to, you know, my theory in real estate and in life in general is whenever you're trying to sell somebody on doing the right thing, having a great presentation, not memorized necessarily, but wouldn't kill you if it was memorized. I really didn't have it memorized, but I had a logical step-by-step presentation that just went through the secrets of investing in real estate. So I do the, you know, what, six basic secrets, and then which we talked about last week, some of them, and the week before. And then I give actual examples, okay? So at the beginning of the presentation, I would ask them about their own house. So they tell me the numbers on their own house. So they say to me, so I'm just going to have you write. And you could do your own house. Well, let's say if you have owned a house for 15 years or more, use your own house. Or if you used to own a house 15 years ago and now you're in a different house, you could use that house you used to own. But you have to know what it would sell for 15 years ago. So just write this down, 15 years, and then what it would sell for today. So let's say it would sell for, oh, I don't know, you know, $800,000 today. So just write $800K today. Hey, that rhymes. And then 15 years ago, let's just – I'm just making up numbers here. I have no idea. But let's say that was let's say $400,000. So it doubled in value 15 years ago. Purchase price. Okay. So that's your – let's say that's your own house that you live in and you're the investor. So I've come over. I asked you, you know, the house you live in today, how long have you lived in it? And you say, oh, we've been here 3 years. And I'd say, okay, how long – the house you lived in previously – what year did you buy it? And you say, oh, we bought it in, you know, 20-whatever, and that was 15 years ago. And I say, what did you pay? And you say, well, I paid $400,000. I go, what would that house sell for today? And you'd say $800,000. Okay, so I'm just going to use your numbers, you know, that you gave me. So I've done that, and then I show you some examples, okay? So I take the part of town that I am recommending that you invest in. So what I did is in the part of town that I picked for a number of reasons, but it in the newspaper, they used to have the newspaper. Remember that newspaper? They advertise what part of town had the highest appreciation rate, and it always happened to be this particular part of town, which was South Scottsdale, which today – still has the highest appreciation rate. And there's some reasons for that that I think are unusual, so it wouldn't really adapt to any other town maybe, but it just so happens that part of town. So that's a figure-outable thing. With the MLS, you've got MLS records, you could go whatever part of town had the highest rate of return, but it's going to be a part of town that was built in the 1960s or older. And is going to be about 8 miles out from it. Now, if you live on an ocean, downtown tends to be the ocean. So it would be, you know, east of the it would be west of the ocean if you're on the East Coast, and it would be east of the ocean if you're on the West Coast. But that's going to be kind of like a downtown. So when you get about 8 miles out of downtown, any town or away from the beach, you're in 1960s-ville. Where it's the modern homes that I talked about, they're easier to fix if something goes wrong. So I'm looking for the average prices published in the tax records for, and I did this, so you just write that down, average prices published in the tax records for 1,400 to 1,700 square foot homes in my town without pools. So pools are a bad idea for rentals from liability and danger and stuff like that. So yeah, I took a 1 mile north to south and about 3 miles wide, which happens to give me in my town, it would be residential only. So there would be very little commercial in that 1 mile by 3 miles long radius, if you want to call it. No industrial. So it was very homogeneous, single family homes only. So it was easy to do this. So in 1989, the average sales price roughly, and I rounded the numbers just to make it simple, but I didn't round them in a way to make the appreciation look better. I rounded it in a way to make it look worse. So in 1989, that 1,400 square foot to 1,700 square foot average house in that area sold for about $80,000. So when I got into real estate, it was 1984. And in 1984, they were actually selling for more than that. They had been going down, not much, but about 1% a year, because the economy was horrible in the mid-1980s. So then in 1999, those same houses averaged about $135,500 was roughly in round numbers, that was the average sales price of those similar homes. So that was an increase of $55,000 over a 10-year period, or $5,500 annually. So just write that down. $55,000 increase, or $5,500 annually. So if you had bought one of those houses for $80,000 in 1989. Now, again, the prices is – it was a market kind of like – actually, today the market's shooting down pretty quickly. But the houses have been going down. I don't think the sellers really realized that, but it was true. But if I had said to any seller in that area in 10 years, or any homeowner – And if I said, you know, your house is worth about $80,000, they'd say, yeah, that sounds right. I'd say 10 years from today, your house will probably be worth $135,000. They would think you were crazy. They would think, well, there's no way. But that did happen. So it didn't double in value, but it did happen. So if you take, let's say we pretend that I was an investor. And I bought one of those houses as an investment, and I only put 10% down, what would my annual rate of return be? So my annual rate of return with 10% down would be about 68% annual rate of return. If I put 20% down, so in other words, if I'm buying it in 1989, I'm putting $8,000 down. Now, would I do that if I was an investor? No. Because that's too risky. I would put 30% down, but if I put $8,000 down, and then it went up $5,500 annually, that's a 68% annual rate of return. Now, that doesn't include the magic free money that is the tenant paying the loan down, so I'm gaining equity even if the property never went up. Plus, I get tax benefits from the IRS for being a landlord. So I get depreciation benefits and the equity buildup, which is kind of a built-in roughly 15% annual rate of return, okay? But that isn't included in the 68. Now, if I put 20% down, I would get a 34% annual rate of return. And if I put 30% down, which would probably give me a break-even cash flow, so I wouldn't have to keep adding money to it to pay the loan, I would get about a 23% annual rate of return. So if I take the 23% and I add the 15%, which is the magic free money of the tenant paying my loan down, and the tax benefits, then that would give me a 38%, almost 40% annual rate of return, which would be wonderful. Okay. Now, those houses, that was 1989 to 1999. Now it's 2024. What do those houses sell for today? Well, they sell for $700,000-$800,000-ish, somewhere in that neighborhood. So they've doubled in value. So they went from 80 to 160 to 320 to 640 and then a little bit more. So they've doubled many times. So that is a great place to be a real estate investor. And it happens to be in my town, the part of town that has the highest rate of return. So now we go back to you, the investor, who I'm doing this for. So that little exercise demonstrates where you should invest. And then it shows you that with the less money you put down, the higher your rate of return is. Now, I'm not trying to get you to put less money down, but it shows you that paying cash for the house is going to give you the lowest possible rate of return. And if you put 30% down, you'd probably have a break-even cash flow after paying the insurance and the taxes and the loan and the collecting the rent. You'd probably wouldn't be positive or negative by much, which is probably the smart way to go. And again, these are rich people. The investors are rich people. So a little bit of negative cash flow or even a whole lot wouldn't matter to them. So now I go back to, is that going to sell them on doing this idea? No, that's not what sells them on doing the idea. I take their personal residence, you know. So let's say I'm going to do this. Let's do it this way. Let's say they paid $350,000 20 years ago for their personal residence. So write down $350,000 20 years ago. And today it's worth $800,000. So I've asked the investor, tell me about your house. They go, oh, I've lived in my house for 20 years. What did you pay for it? We paid $350,000. Okay. And then today, what do you think it would sell for? Probably $800,000. So I'm going to use their numbers. You know, I'm not going to check it out. They're probably pretty close. So then I do a little math, and then that's a total gain of $450,000. Okay. But if I divide that gain of 450 by 20 years, it's an annual gain of 22,000 ish. So every year that house went up 22,000. Now, if you put 30% down and you bought the house that you're living in, not as a house to live in, but you know, you might have put no money down with a VA loan back then or something like that. But let's say if you were an investor and you had bought that 20 years ago for $350,000 and you put 30% down so you could have a break-even cash flow and the rents are going to cover the payment and the taxes and the insurance while it's going up in value. It's not costing you anything to have it. And you're not making money, you know, by having it either. Then what percent of the down payment, which back then, if you put 30% down, would have been $100,000, is the annual gain, which is $22,000, or $22,000 divided by $100,000, which is 22%. So the annual appreciation of my down payment is 22%. Now, if I add the 15%, which is the magic free money of the tenant paying down my loan, so I'm gaining equity even if the house didn't go up in value, and I'm getting tax benefits even if the house didn't get up in value, so I'm getting about another 15%. So that would be 37%. So it's almost 40%. annual rate of return. So here's the question, Mr. Investor. 20 years ago, how many of those houses, like the one you're living in, do you wish you would have bought? And their answer would be all of them. Yeah. So that's what sells them on doing this. They've already done it. When I'm showing that neighborhood and I'm telling the stories about the how this type of house and what it did, it's kind of theoretical then. But when it's their own personal residence and it actually happened to them already, and they go, yeah, my house in only 20 years went from $350,000 to $800,000, and that's going to keep on happening. And 10 years before it was $350,000, it was $175,000. And 10 years before that, it was about $80,000. So, yeah, that history of that house, if it's an old enough house, has already happened to them. They're familiar with that. So that's what is going to sell them on doing what we do in the pricing presentation. And then secret number seven is make a decision. So the question is, do you want to do more of that or do invest for the first time in real estate if they haven't already? Do they want to do more of it if they've done it and maybe they haven't been doing it right and they've got wrong properties like land or multifamily or, you know, they're loaded up with some kind of crap that something they shouldn't have and you can tax-free exchange them with no money out of pocket into something that makes way more sense like we've been describing here. But doing nothing is not the answer. So is this what you want to do? And they'd say, yeah, that is what I want to do. Now, maybe in the back of their mind, they knew that's how investing is supposed to work, but nobody ever step-by-step logically explained it to them in such a way that they get it. And then they make the decision and I say, okay, well, now that you want to do it, you know, my hope is that you would want to do it with me. And they'd always say, oh, yeah, no, you understand it. You get it, Bob. You're the guy we want. And literally it turned into a little cottage industry for me. So that's the easy way to sell investors. So when you find somebody who is already a real estate investor, here's what to look for. I don't think it's necessarily a great idea to be prospecting for investors, but you're going to bump into them along the way. So anybody who owns a couple of rental properties and is open to the idea of earning more or owning more, that's somebody who you would do the investor presentation for. Anybody who is rich, who could invest but isn't investing in real estate, that's somebody who you could do the investor presentation for. And I was just eager to show it to people. I would just say, you know, I have a philosophy in investing in real estate, and I'd like for you to take a look at it. Is that something we could meet sometime and I could show you? And a real investor, rich people, they go, yeah, sure, let's see what you got, you know. And then if they hadn't done it before, it was very easy to take somebody that's got $100,000 laying around to invest or a couple of hundred, or they could do, you know. But I've had people, like call me in my farm area, I guess you call it. But I had a guy that was living in California, and I cold called him, and he said, yeah, he goes, I'd like to maybe sell that house, that rental property someday. I said, how often do you come to town? And he goes, I get over to Scottsdale, you know, probably once a year. I go, when's the next time you're going to be here? He goes, I'm actually coming over in a couple of months. I said, would you have time to meet with me and let me show you my investor philosophy? He goes, I'd love to. So I meet, I do the investor presentation for him. We sell his property, 1031 tax-free exchange. He buys three. So I get four commissions. He gets a much higher rate of return. It's a winner for everybody involved. So That really is the secret. So now it's time for what I like to call a shameless plug.
Time for Bob Leffler's shameless plug.
By the way, if any of this stuff that we talk about on the big show here makes any sense to you whatsoever, and you happen to be earning less selling real estate than you wish you were, and you are open to the idea of having some help with that, go directly to fearlessagent.com. Watch our free webinar. It's in the banner across the top on the homepage. Click on that and then give me a call. You can call me anytime at 480-385-8810. That is my cell phone. And let's just see if you and what you're trying to do in your real estate career and what we do, if it would be a good fit. By the way, I always say if it would be a good fit. I'm going to help you whether it's a good fit or not. And there will be no me closing you on selling you on coaching at the end of that call. That never happens. You can certainly sign up on my website at fearlessagent.com if you want to sign up for coaching, but that's not what happens at the end of that call. You're free to sign up or not, and there's no pressure. No salespeople are going to call you or anything like that. We don't do it that way. But if it's not a good fit, I'll tell you why I don't think it would be a good fit for you. If it is a good fit, I'll tell you I think it's a good fit. But if it is a good fit, you're going to get rich, not Oprah rich, but realtor rich. And I love talking to realtors. I don't want you to think you're bothering me. My preference is you don't email me or text me, because those are such bad habits in sales. I practice what I preach. Always call me at 480-385-8810. If you are a real estate company owner and you happen to be recruiting fewer producing agents than you wish you were, go to fearlessagentrecruiting.com. Watch my recruiting video. Or if you're an agent and you're thinking about opening your own company, that would be a great video for you to watch. And then call me and see if I think that you're the right person to own your own company. I noticed that successful real estate company owners tend to have a certain temperament. And I'll be happy to tell you if I think you got it. But I'll do a coaching call with you and we'll figure that out, among other things. And then once again, I want to thank all of you for joining us today. Please do give us a 5-star rating of our podcast here on whatever platform you're on. Sign up for fearlessagent.tv. Subscribe to that. Make sure you've subscribed to our podcast here. And until next week, I want you to do what we all do as a fearless agent. Always have fun. No matter what, stay humble, but always be fearless. Thanks, gang.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.